A special education teacher, an administrator, and a lawyer walk into a bar. And our conversations can get pretty lively. And now you'll join us while we talk all about special education and the public school system. I'm Robin Fabiano, a special education teacher and a building-based student services administrator. And I'm joined by Abby Hanscom, a district-level student services administrator, and Angela Smagula, a founding partner at Kahn & Smagula, specializing in education law. We've been working together across multiple districts since 2009 and have lots of opinions about special education. In this podcast, we hope to share information, lessons learned, interviews with VIPs in the field of special education, and bring some humor to an otherwise serious topic. But before we get started, three disclaimers. One, the views shared on this podcast are our own and don't represent the views of the districts in which we work. Two, everyone might want Kahn and Smagula as their attorneys, but Angela is not giving legal advice during this podcast. Three, although there are federal laws governing special education, we work in Massachusetts, a state that has added protections, so some of which we speak about may not apply in your state. So let's get started. Hi, Angela. Hi, Abby.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Angela, we've missed you.
Have you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Give us a quick update on Willie.
Oh, he's good. He's plugging along. We've had lots of visits and lots of medical mysteries, but he's as of right now, he's pretty good. So thank you for asking.
Yeah, I'm sure the listeners are wondering because we did shout him out at the last podcast. And so,
oh, that's so nice.
People are wondering how he's doing and wanted an update.
Well, we're on an upswing right now. So thank you for asking.
Good, good. You may not know that Onyx, Abby's dog, is now seriously injured.
What?
And, yep, he has like a puncture wound.
Yep. Wait, what happened?
Unknown dog injury. Yep. So Onyx is sitting next to me with a t-shirt on and all kinds of special medicine and is a little bit down for the count on some pain medicine, but enjoying the pod very much.
Oh, I'm sorry, Abby.
Oh, thank you. I think, dogs run into sticks and other things. So that's what happens.
Oh, poor guy.
Well, I have no update on my animal.
Rocco's fine.
You have none?
Is that close enough to an animal?
You need like a fish or something.
Oh, he would love one. He would love a fish.
Or a bird. Birds are pretty weird.
Fish is pretty low maintenance. You could get a betta.
I'm just scared I would have to like fish it out and dump it down the toilet.
Well, you would. You need 100% betas. Yep.
Yes.
100%.
What? Yes, you will. Don't be afraid. That is part of it. Probably in the first 2 weeks.
Oh, yep. God. And pick one that's pretty generic looking so you can replace it efficiently. That's a key pro tip.
Yeah.
There you go. That's a pro tip.
Yeah.
So I think we are going to have a fun conversation tonight. I'm super excited to talk about it. We have been sending each other back and forth the ad that is going around for National Down Syndrome Awareness Day, which is on March 21st. And it's the ad that says, "Assume I Can." And it stars Madison Tevlin, who was one of the actresses in the movie Champions that we reviewed on the podcast season 3, episode 23. And she's super cool. And I hope by now everyone has seen the advertisement. We're going to link it in the show notes so you guys can all watch it. But it's pretty awesome. And I'm excited by the message.
Yeah, I totally agree. And when I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, like we're all part of the same conversation, right? So this is part of a global kind of thing, which we can talk about. But so many of the themes in the ad, I was like, we did a podcast on that. And we did a podcast on that. And she was in a movie we reviewed. So I felt good that I think it is a current kind of global conversation. And I do think it has a lot of currency and it's like very modern and it might push people's, boundaries and comfort level a little bit, which is great.
So should we describe it just quickly for those people who are not going to stop listening to us to watch it and then come back? Madison Tevlin is, as we said, the star of this ad, and she is seen portraying herself in kind of six major scenarios. And it's kind of like a this could be my reality or this could be my reality.
So it goes like, you assume that I'm living home with my family. So I do. And so it's, you know, and then so she goes through all like the six different categories. You assume that I don't want a margarita when I'm sitting at a bar. So I don't get a margarita, right? So like your assumption governs like what I'm able to do. And so it goes through all six of those and we can talk about each of them. And then it flips it and says, if you assume that I can drink a margarita, so guess what? I drink a margarita, right? And so it goes through each of those. Like the gym one is really good. Like you assume that I can't hit hard, so I don't hit hard. And it shows like the person who has good intentions working with a person with Down syndrome, like thinking they're doing their best, right? Like they're doing their best to get that person to participate in whatever the activity is, right? But it's driven by that kind person's assumptions about somebody with Down syndrome, which ends up being limiting. The message is, if you, you know, assume that I can do exactly what you can do, right? Neurotypical person, and maybe I will, right? So don't like, you know, don't let your own beliefs or restrictions about what I can do actually govern what I can do, kind of thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And, you know, from a structural standpoint, it's a nice kind of like deconstruction of what we would call like the social model of disability, right? So it's not just targeted at schools or private companies or employers or restaurant bartenders, all of which have their own story of discriminatory practice that is either in the courts or in like the world, or well-intentioned people like neighbors and friends and parents, right? But it kind of hits all those subcomponents, and it basically says like it's this whole web of low expectations that kind of holds me back because it's like a socially constructed concept. And if you pretend that in your mind you don't have that concept and you just treat me like you would like to be treated, perhaps I will exceed your expectations, right? And I do think that's an interesting thing. They kind of keep it in the conditional, like perhaps I will, maybe I will, because not all people will or will want to. And that's another kind of cool component of, I think, that is it's not, I don't know, it's not like a myth. It's very realistic, which is, I think, nice and pretty novel, frankly.
I mean, the idea, of course, is to have like a hot, like for anyone trying something for the first time or wanting to do something for the first time or wanting to get better at something, you should have a high bar, right? Right. You have a high bar that they strive for, and maybe they meet it and maybe they don't. Maybe they get close to it. And so what her point, I think, and the point in the ad is that you have an extraordinarily low bar for me because of what you assume I can do because of who I am.
Right. Right?
And so so it's really, I think, you know, it's great and thought provoking because it gets right into the real nitty gritty, as you said, like it goes outside like the typical standard places where we're talking about people with disabilities.
Well, and it really talks about like broad categories that I think, as you said, Abby, are connected to like our social expectations. So it's not like counting money or like very skill-based. It's like, you don't think I'm going to want to have a drink. You don't think I can swear, right? Yep. You don't think I can have sex. You don't think I should work out hard just like you do. They talked about as you said, like living with their parents, going to school. So, I mean, it's like these broad expectations that we have among us that, you know, we enjoy doing. You really can connect on so many levels. And again, it's not about specific skills. It's like, you know, how we see each other as humans. It's such a fantastic ad.
Yeah, I think that's the power of storytelling, right? And the truth is that the school slice is one of the smallest little tidbits of the ad. They spend a lot more time on like larger social kind of access ideas. And the school piece is really fun because it has nothing to do with special ed. So her thing is something like, you know, you assume I can't learn Shakespeare, so I don't learn Shakespeare, right? And that's like such a nice kind of little message in and of itself, because when you go to class placement in most high schools for people with cognitive impairments, we do not offer them Shakespeare. And so then the question is, okay, well, who's holding them back, us or them, or right? And it's probably the school administration and some of the mindsets of why can't you modify Shakespeare? Like, a lot of the themes in Shakespeare are universal, right? They're the same as in so many other books, but why do we not offer that? And there's so many layers to that. So they do that one in like 8 seconds.
Right. And I mean, there is this whole idea that we've talked about before is around like presuming competence, and that you always want to allow someone to try something before we assume and we make the decision that they can't learn it or they're not interested in it. Like, allow the person the opportunity to try something or to learn something before we make that decision without them.
I've certainly been in team meetings over the years where the pressure to determine a person's course schedule in advance so that the schedule runs smoothly and the aid time is maximized and all that does lead us down a road where we assume courses that are less challenging because they're more convenient to staff. And those are like wild big ideas to ponder while driving to work one morning. And how people, you know, do that. And, you know, in Massachusetts, we have a new IEP coming out. And one of the interesting questions it's framing up is this idea of assume general ed access and ask the question, what related aids and services the person needs to access it? And that's, of course, a different question than kind of what are the disability-based limitations to access? It's the inverse of that. So that's going to be, you know, interesting.
So we did a little bit of a deep dive on the organization that created the ad, and it's an Italian company called Cure Down, which is the Italian National Coordination of Down Syndrome Associations. It was formally established in 2003, although active since 1987. And it aims to activate social communication actions to raise awareness of the potential of people with Down syndrome, promote their inclusion in school, in the workplace, and sport, share experiences among individual associations, identify and implement common strategies on shared policy issues. They have a variety of different campaigns that they've run over the course of their existence. And they all are around this like social inclusion of people with disabilities. And so they have another ad, it's called The Hiring Chain. And it shows the power of one person hiring someone and then someone else coming to their business and seeing that person with Down syndrome doing some important skill and saying like, wow, This is kind of cool. And so they have an opportunity to hire someone. So they give someone a chance. That person has, you know, a disability. Someone else comes into their business and sees that person working and then gives a different person a chance, et cetera, et cetera. And how like one person's decision can impact a community at large, which I truly believe in that power. And so I thought that was a really moving advertisement.
Can we link to that one too? Or
oh, definitely. Yeah. I'll link both of them in the show notes.
Can you guys talk a little bit about like the specific deficits with regard to adults, young adults with Down syndrome and what that is, and then what some of the assumptions are by people that don't know that and assume just because of the way they present?
Yeah, I don't know that I could answer your question, Ange, to be honest with you, because I feel like there's a broad experience of people.
Abby, I was thinking that some of the characteristics of people with Down syndrome that we learned about when we were in graduate school or were just starting out in the field are probably not accurate anymore. And the outcomes for people with Down syndrome and the spectrum of people with Down syndrome and there are so much more vast than we originally thought when we were first becoming special education teachers. And so one, we can't generalize, right? When you meet one person with Down syndrome, it would be impossible to say that the next person with Down syndrome is going to have the same experience or strengths and weaknesses and interests and outcomes. Even while there are like certain characteristics that are probably universal, it is more often than not that each person with Down syndrome is very, very different.
Yeah, totally agree. And I think as we've gotten better, like genetic research and broader sets of information, I think we're learning more about the variety of people who are characterized as having a thing called Down syndrome, which may itself be part of a larger like variability of people category, right? That's just what we called it back in whatever, the 50s. An interesting example of that actually is that in some countries, you don't have the right to vote if you're considered cognitively impaired. You lose that right to vote. And in Italy, which is where this company is that made this ad, apparently even very impaired folks maintain the right to vote. And that is supported by organizations like this, where they offer classes and they teach people how to go exercise their right to vote, even if they need significant supports to do so. And I think that's really interesting because the right to vote is one of those things that historically has been taken away from people in different categories that have been marginalized, and you've had to earn your way back to it. If you think about like competency and stuff. And so at least in Italy, apparently this organization is part of the like training subset of folks that provide support so people can cast a ballot, which is kind of cool.
Isn't that consistent with something that you read, Robin, that you were mentioning to us offline about like a study of like inclusive communities across the globe or something?
Yeah. So I don't remember where I read it, but Italy was identified as having like the highest ranking of like social inclusion. And I think if I remember correctly, it was because there's so much like intergenerational living and caretaking that's involved, and that families tend to like live together. And so they can take care of all members of their family. And then the communities are so tight that they take care of their own. And so you have a person with disabilities, they go to the same community schools, they go to the same grocery store, they go to the same church, very much like invested in the community and part of that. And that made a lot of sense to me. And probably go back and see if that is still current.
I'm sure. I bet it is.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So the other fun thing on the ad that I think is kind of interesting is they kind of target like employment, right? And so there's this idea of, you know, if you don't offer me a challenging job, then how can I learn to do a challenging job? And this whole thing, and this organization has a whole other ad campaign about this like chain of hiring where, you know, just like everybody who is non-disabled has experienced, you start out kind of in an entry-level job and then you get the next job and then you get the next job. And then someday you are the department head or the principal or whatever. And that's another kind of nice visual that they put into this is, you know, this idea of if you don't offer me access, how can you expect me to ever access anything? And that's pretty in your face in the in the ad, which is kind of neat, I think, too.
In the United States, there's a National Down Syndrome Congress. There are chapters in almost every single state. I'm actually on the board of the Educational Forum of the Massachusetts Down Syndrome Association. And every year we do an educational forum for teachers and bring in different experts for, you know, to support teachers who have students with Down syndrome in their classes. And the national organization is a really large Congress. They have a lot of members and they have, I would say, a lot of clout in terms of policy influence. And they also have like a national Congress every year. But that's a good website to check out. And if you're not a member, or if you didn't know that there's a state chapter, that would be something that you all could do just to get involved on a state level.
Yeah, we should link to that too, Robin.
Yeah, here in Massachusetts, it's actually the 40th anniversary this year of the Massachusetts Down Syndrome Congress. And their conferences in Worcester, Mass on March 23rd. And they are celebrating like this 40th kind of anniversary. And they're, it's interesting, the strands of their conference are kind of fun to see too, right? There's a whole strand of self-advocate led workshops. So people with Down syndrome over age 13 can like offer to lead a workshop, share kind of their skills, learn from other people with Down syndrome, which is just another kind of really cool evolution of these kind of conferences.
Yeah, they have also a grandparent strand. They have a first parent strand. They're actually one of the only organizations that I know of is that when you give birth to a baby with Down syndrome, the hospital can connect you with volunteers of parents who will come to the hospital from the Massachusetts Down Syndrome Congress, and I'm sure, you know, across the United States, who will greet you and say, like, what a blessing this is. Like, we'll connect you with resources right away and be a support and an advocate for you. And I always found that to be really one of the you know, most special parts of the organization.
Yeah, that's so nice.
So I do think the ad is interesting just because, like many of these things, the audience is not people with Down syndrome. It's people who do not have Down syndrome. It's us, right? And so I think that's another kind of fun thing to just take a minute and think about is that like the change, the locus of change in this topic is not with people with Down syndrome doing something differently or evolving in some way. It's like with the rest of the universe shifting. And I think that's kind of a good takeaway.
Right. Well, the majority, you know, draws the line in the sand.
Always. Right.
So like the neurotypicals are the majority. So we get to decide who can do what and when and how, right? So like that's the kicker. And that's like the education component piece. So how do we educate people about that in the most impactful way? And it's like an ad like this, right?
Well, on all of these days, I try to think to myself, like, what's one thing I want to do to challenge myself to do something different? Or what's one thing I want to learn to make sure that I am, you know, understanding things in a different way? And so, you know, listeners out there, like March 21st will have come and gone by the time this comes out because we're a week late. So I apologize, but it's not too late to think to yourself the same message, like what will I do differently? Like, how can I now influence my community for the better?
Yeah.
And this is like the perfect audience because you guys are all in, you know, we're all in the same tribe. Like I'm speaking.
Exactly. To people,
right. Who are doing the change making on the daily. So you're already doing it, but it doesn't stop us from like recommitting.
Correct. The day is symbolic. You can pick your own day or you could pick every day, right? Like the day is not the key component of the ad. Yeah. So I think that's cool. And I think that's kind of good for spring. It's like refreshing and kind of refreshing our mindset a little. And I think this ad certainly had its intended impact on us. So hopefully we're amplifying that a little bit and, you know, spreading the message.
I love it. All right. So everyone, now that you've listened to the pod, now go into the show notes, watch the ad if you haven't.
Send it to your friends. Yep.
You know, or feel free to like start the episode, pause it.
Go check it out. Yep.
Come back. Ad and then come back.
Yeah, but now it's the end, Angela.
That's true. Sorry.
And then maybe if you want, keep looking on the Poor Down. That's the organization who created this ad, their website. They have a couple of other really good advertisements and messages and campaigns. So take a look at those also. And, you know, let's keep the trend moving in the positive direction.
Absolutely. And next time you meet somebody at a bar who has Down syndrome, offer to buy them a margarita.
I love it. That's what I'm committing to doing.
There you go.
You're acting like you're like totally gaslighting the listeners into thinking you go to bars all the time.
I know. You go nowhere. Exactly. But hey, you never know.
Anyway.
I'll strive to go to more bars.
There you go. All right. So All right. Well, this was fun. And we'll be back again next week. And have a good rest of the week, Abby and Angela. Talk to you soon.
Got it. Take care, guys. Good night.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please subscribe, share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating or review. If you have any questions, you can reach us at astalpodcast@gmail.com.